This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word. Those are the ones who give us financial support through their pledges and donations. We thank you guys very much, and this week we want to welcome our newest friend of the Magic Word, Mr. Charles Morgan. Thank you, Charles, very much for supporting us and for listening to this podcast each week. And we thank all of the rest of the listeners also for tuning in and listening, and also that if you can make a financial donation, it'd be greatly appreciated. All you have to do is just go over to themagicwordpodcast.com. There you'll see a tab that will say, Become a Friend of the Magic Word, and it will give you more information on whether you can make a one-time donation or if you want to make a monthly pledge. Doesn't cost very much, you know, even a dollar a month, whatever that you can afford. Think about it, about maybe having a cup of coffee with me once a month at least, if not at least each week whenever that you hear these podcasts, or if you want to share a single malt scotch, something a little bit better perhaps. Depending on however much that you can afford, that would be greatly appreciated, and it all goes to help this podcast and to our server and domain and all of our hardware and software and everything that it takes to produce this podcast from week to week. Anything and everything that you can donate or pledge, it would be greatly appreciated and will make you a friend of the Magic Word too. Well, this week we have somebody who is very interesting that I'm sure that many of you do not know, and I always like it whenever I hear from listeners saying, you know, I made a new friend by listening to your podcast because I didn't know this person going in, but I always know you're going to have somebody interesting, and so I listened and I learned a lot, and I hope that you feel that same way with this podcast. In fact, I'm sure that you will, which is why that I'm going to be posting this, because I know it's something and someone that certainly will make you think, and is quite interesting. Tom Vorjahan has been a longtime friend of mine. I think perhaps we may have met in Texas many years ago at a magic auction, and we have done some things together in the past with the International Brotherhood of Magicians. He currently serves on the Board of Trustees, International Board with the International Brotherhood of Magicians, and he also had a column in the SAM's magazine, Magic, Unity, and Might, or the MUM magazine. And it was about balloon twisting. So he is multifaceted. Oh, I also, of course, wanted to talk about restaurant magic because he's been doing that really for a long number of years as well. But as I said, he's really multifaceted and has a lot of interesting background and things that he talks about. In fact, he has a lecture that he discusses restaurant magic and not just tricks, but more importantly, the real business of magic and how to work that. But the column that he had in the MUM had to do with balloon twisting, and it was a long-running thing that originally I think was supposed to be every few months, and then it was every other month, and I think it went to a regular monthly column. And I believe that Daniel Heron, his balloon-tick friend who works with him, the two of them, I believe, had actually co-authored that regular column. Well, anyhow, Tom has been working at a lot of different restaurants over decades and has a lot of experience, not just a restaurant. I mean, when I was talking with him, he has three different restaurants a week that he's working currently, and as a result, has a lot of good experience in performing at these places and knows how to approach a table and the importance of other kinds of things that are important to becoming a good restaurant magician. And that means not only not only being proficient to do the tricks, but also entertaining in order to keep people coming back. It was interesting, too, in this conversation that we have a little bit of a difference of opinion in which that I've always felt that it is wrong to promise your client that you're going to be able to bring in additional customers. And he takes the exact opposite approach, and he says, I will bring in additional people. And then also the idea about how that he goes about trying to determine what the price is to charge for that restaurant. And he has a really good formula for figuring that out. Plus, also, we talk about tipping, whether you should or shouldn't, but more importantly, if you decide to tip, or rather to accept tips, that he talks about how to go about soliciting those tips and what he does and some ideas that I do, and we get into a pretty good conversation about tipping as well. So we kind of get right into it from the very get-go over here and talk about a variety of things, again, having to do with tipping at restaurants as well as tricks in the restaurant, and then going into some things about balloon twisting and sculpting and that kind of a thing. So I know this is going to be someone that you're going to enjoy. It's a really interesting conversation, enlightening, entertaining, and educational, and all of that. I know that you'll enjoy it. Please welcome my friend, Mr. Tom Vorjahan, this week on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com. And today I'm sitting in the home over here with a good friend in front of the fireplace, and it's kind of a wintry day. And where are we? We're in Nashville.
Yeah, this is as wintry as Nashville gets.
You know? It's as wintry as you get?
Yeah.
You get ice, I know.
Occasionally. I mean, winter's like a three-day non-consecutive event here.
Please welcome my friend Tom Vorjahan. That's his voice. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Scott.
But you've been here for how long then? I mean, you're not from here originally, but you...
No, I moved up here. We moved here from Indiana. I guess it's been 22 years.
But I've been here. And actually in Knoxville, right?
Yeah. So I started in Knoxville and, you know, been back and forth here for the last decade.
And a lot of stuff. Well, right now there's so many things that I want to chat with you, and I would like to introduce you to a lot of people who may not know you, who are listeners to this around the world. And for those who don't, as far as some of your background, one of the main reasons I want to talk with you is just having to do with the balloon workshop that you do and everything with balloons, certainly. And you had the column and the MUM for a number of years.
We sure did.
Of course, then being a restaurant magician, I always like to talk with fellow restaurant magicians and kind of how long you been at this, which restaurant are you working right now, or how many?
Three. I've taken one and put it on a hiatus because of the problem with my feet, and I just haven't started back up here in a year. But there are three Mexican restaurants all owned by the same group.
So they just kind of, you just had to talk with one owner. So when you pitched them, they said, hey, we got all these places.
Well, actually, they saw me perform at an event 20 years ago. And he said, do you happen to do restaurant magic? And I went, I sure do. And anyhow, so I've been there on Wednesday nights. That's the one I've taken a hiatus from.
Yeah.
And then I have another one. There are other one that's closer to my home on Tuesdays. And Michael Messing, my friend, and I make sure to have the one on Sunday nights covered. So they'll let me have Michael cover.
So you use him kind of as your backup?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
so if it's not good. Him, do you have somebody else, or are they just...
You know, I have used a couple people in the past, but Michael's style, my style, we certainly don't overlap.
Yeah.
So he and I could do the same trick and people wouldn't even know, I think.
You know, as we were talking last evening, I thought it was interesting comment that you said when Bill Malone had watched videotapes of other people he was considering to come down and work at his place when he had it open in Florida, that he was going to choose you because, or he had offered you a job because he said you
get
it.
Well, my favorite quote from Bill was he just calls me up and he goes, you get it. And he said, it's all about entertaining and keeping people there and making them want to see more. It's not necessarily showing off your skill or your
flourishes.
Yeah. And so, he just really, because when I sent him a tape, I didn't have tape a close up.
Yeah.
So I sent him a tape and I just kamikazed one night and went for five different restaurants.
Most restaurants, magicians don't have tapes. You know,
I mean, that's just not normal. Mm-hmm. It was fun and just, you know, didn't work out for family reasons is why it didn't work out.
Do you encourage people, by the way, to take photos and videos in the restaurant? Because now, of course, with camera phones and everything, that everyone's taking shots everywhere. And,
you know, I've never stopped them. But, you know, I've also never paused in my routine and go, look, if you got your phone and you want to watch this later, now would be a good time to record it. And that's a great idea.
That's what I was wondering, if you might actually encourage that.
Yeah, I haven't.
Because by doing
that... But several do.
I would think that that'd be a way of promoting your show, because you could just say...
I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah, video, be sure and tag me on your social media, and here's my
my address, you know, on
Facebook
or Twitter.
Yeah, but at 54, me and my social media happen to be Facebook. I keep up with my classmates is what I do. Which the other 54-year-olds.
You're a young guy at 54. You know, you're only as young as you feel, I guess. But
you know, I've not.
You're missing some opportunities there.
The only bird I've ever used, it's not that Twitter, dude.
Not Twitter.
So I feel bad that I'm not as connected as I could be or should be, but...
You've got other things, other priorities, and that's not been one.
Yes, I just, I love posting stuff on Facebook, and I love folks to see it. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that would be a great way to market the whole restaurant, try and get other people interested to come back. Because, when you do a $100 bill change, I do it to a mismade bill, mm-hmm. and I do it with a 5, a 20, and a 100. Your eyes just got big, like, really?
Okay.
And you're not going to see that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think, that's not going to be something that they're going to be seeing again.
And it's
would encourage
quick.
That.
You know,
but it's also something
30 seconds in and out.
When you'd go into a restaurant to say, I can help promote your restaurant through my social media, because you're adding another dimension. When you're going in to talk with them, they probably already have, Facebook and all the rest of the social media, Twitter and Tumblr and whatever else, Instagram. But you are complementing that by saying, this is a service I can provide you, because I've got X thousands of people who follow me then also to find out about the restaurant and want to come and see me. And I can also have people post to that page that will be videos of this saying, come and see this guy. Or
sure.
Pictures.
I think that's great. It's a great idea, Scott. Cause I tell people all the time that are interested in getting into restaurant magic, you really are an ambassador for that restaurant.
Exactly
so
right.
If you're going in to, show off your latest and greatest trick, you've kind of missed the ball. It's a great chance to try out new stuff. I just showed you earlier that I learned Pointless from Gregory Wilson.
Right.
And I was all excited this past Tuesday when I did it at the restaurant. And I literally got to do it 15 times that night at each table.
And
you keep trying to figure out what to tweak to get a better reaction. Right now, I'm just at the stunned dumbfoundedness. And that's not necessarily a reaction I go for.
you get that just walking down the street.
Yeah, that people look and go, that's exactly the look I get now that I think about it. So really, they haven't changed from not looking at me. No, but what I'm saying is the restaurant gives you that opportunity to, once you have something, you've practiced it and you've rehearsed it and you think you know what you're going to do, now you get to actually try it for four or five people, try it for two or three people, and then over and over and over again.
Several times.
So, if you happen to fail, hopefully you've practiced it enough. You're not going to actually mess up the trick. But if it doesn't hit the way you want it to hit, I've been working in restaurants one or more since 1985, nearly without a hiatus. Minus the time I was off my feet because of my foot. But I love working in restaurants.
You got to think about putting together some lecture notes or something.
I have a lecture, Scott.
You? What are you talking about?
They're waterlogged at your house.
Yeah. Okay.
Houston goes underwater, and so, 3 years later, I send him notes, and they get sunk.
Let me apologize, and for listeners, that Dom had sent me a copy of his lecture notes and said they were coming, and they were delivered, and I was expecting it to be put in my post office box, my mail slot. And it wasn't. It was delivered to my front door, and I kept waiting for it. And I was talking to you one day, and you said, well, you should have gotten it by now. I sent it by two-day express.
Ago.
And I looked outside. Well, we'd had a torrential rainstorm, and there it was, just in the front step.
And I've not sent you another one. I'm still out the money for the last one, for God's sake.
I can give that one back
Our
to you.
Friendship is only so deep. Our friendship is
it's
only
about
so
2 inches deep. That's right. About the,
and you got 4 inches of water. So
apparently you got some good stuff in there. I can't get the pages apart to check it out. But
but the lecture is really it's not all about the tricks.
I've
got
say,
some
these
great
are not
some
just tricks.
Tricks. Yeah, no, I'd say darn near half of the book just gives some wisdom and some thoughts about it.
Like what?
I have a formula that I have figured out on what to charge.
Okay.
And it depends on the restaurant, because you hear it every time you start talking to somebody, they'll call or they know I do stuff, and they'll kind of contact you via email or whatever. And I've helped a few guys get started. And the first question is, what do I charge? You know, and the,
right.
And it's, I have a great story of one of my buddies that, was doing something at a lower end restaurant. That's no longer in the, Knoxville area. And, like a family buffet kind of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so he would go to there. So there's no waitress service minus them
you help yourself, right.
filling your glasses and stuff. And so he would go and he would plop down a mug, that said, I work for tips, and plop it down on the table. And he'd say, would you like to see some magic or would your children like a balloon?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go, sure. Well, he did it for over a year or more. But in that time, Big Lots called him one day and they were doing a big grand opening, of one of a new store. And they called him up we would love to have you. We'd love to have you. This would be great if you could do it for 9 hours this day. And he's like ringing it up in his head. Whoa, I'm going to make some money.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, this is great. Blah, 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 blah. And finally he goes, well, we've not talked about what I charge. And the lady paused and she goes, oh, well, we've seen you over at the restaurant. We thought you just worked for tips.
Right.
And I use that example all the time.
That's a great story.
It's, you know, you work for tips one place. That's what they think you're worth,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so you have to watch that, you know, and you shouldn't just work for a meal. You know, mm-hmm. I did it when I was in college, and I had a meal as part of my pay. Now, of course, college was 82 to 86, so this would be the dark ages, I'm sure, for half your listeners. But, you know, I still got paid some money. So I would get $20 plus a meal. I thought I was flying high.
Yeah, back then, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Charles Green III had told me years ago that he did not accept tips for that very reason, because people felt like, okay, well, that sets the value of what this show is worth. So if he wanted to later, or they wanted to book him for a corporate show or a trade show, which he was ultimately going for and he did achieve,
right.
that he was able to quote a higher price, because why would they want to do that? And there was another similar story that there was a fellow who had booked several magicians for a corporate event, and he was charging thousands more for just close-up for what he was going to be getting for himself, and then what these other guys had agreed to pay, which was a lot less than that. And the reason he charged more is because he said that I am at a certain level of fee for my client already for what I do during the day on the trade show floor, and they look at it as an hourly basis versus what I'm doing and bringing in people. So if I charged anything less than what that hourly basis would be, so let's say you're charging $5,000 a day or whatever, you know,
right.
So if you're going to be there for 3 hours, for 5 hours or something, it's $1,000 an hour. So he should be charging $1,000 an hour for doing hospitality. It's kind of was his philosophy,
right?
You know, otherwise, if you're saying, "Well, I'll do it for $200," you're saying, "Well, how come you're doing it for less than?"
You know, I used that logic a long time ago, but I could give a whole conversation about tipping. Don't let me get away from that for too long. But concept I had a long time ago was: client calls you up and they want you to entertain at their Christmas party.
Yeah,
and you go, and here's the price of my show. It's $750. And, oh, by the way, if you'd like me to, and it's half hour, 45 minutes long. Oh, and by the way, if you'd like me to come an hour early, I'll work the cocktail party for another $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, I don't know, a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You know, it's magic. They're paying for that service and that ambiance.
That's right.
And you shouldn't, just because you think that doing the card tricks is easier or doesn't take as much time to set up or whatever, the client's still getting a service.
That's right.
So it really should be, if you're charging $750 for the show and you're going to then turn around and do an hour ahead of time, well, that's $1,500 more, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you give them less than $1,500 and go, well, I can work the hour ahead of time, and instead of $1,500, I'll do it for $1,000. Now, all of a sudden the client goes, okay. And I've not had a problem with it yet,
mm-hmm.
since I came to that own, my own epiphany,
yeah.
where magic is magic. You know, the guys on TV are making close-up cool. They all want to see it.
Good point.
You know, and so really I do more close-up than I do stand-up shows anymore.
Well, I think that's part of the issue is when we are booked for shows, they the people who are booking us have seen us in one particular venue. So they think that's all that you do. It's like they saw us do close up in someone else's cocktail party, or perhaps at a restaurant, or vice versa. If they had seen us do an after dinner show, think that's all that you do. And then you say, well, I also can do this. Well, you can. You got to, you know, sell the whole show to let them see that package.
Well, my favorite quote all the time when I walk up to a table and I elicit reaction from a table, and it always happens after the reaction. Mm-hmm. So after a big laugh, or after a you know, a moment where they're surprised and actually have a sense of wonder, it'll inevitably go, somebody will say, I wish the kids were here.
I get that all the time.
And I look at them and I go, oh, are you not having fun? And they go, oh, no, no, we just wish they could too. And I go, well, I entertain adults more than I entertain children, but I'd love it if your kids were here too the next time you come in. Yeah. You know, but I want to make sure that they don't think that, you know, as the cereal says, tricks are for kids.
That's a good way of putting it, as far as saying, that I think they would enjoy it too. But yeah, putting them on the spot.
I don't want them to make, because for whatever reason, the paradigm in the society's head is that children like magic.
Right.
You know, and as we were just talking earlier in the car, Scott, no. You know, we've got theaters popping up, House of Cards here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. You have the Chicago Lounge.
Yep.
You know, you got what you're starting down Magic in Island. Houston. Yeah. None of those are targeted towards children.
That's true.
Not one of them.
Well,
Illusions that used to be in Indy.
You have to be 21 or older to get into some of those places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good point. So continuing on with what your philosophy is as far as how that you would decide how much to charge.
So, you know, I don't want to, I'll tip a little bit of it. And if somebody actually is interested, I can say a little bit more. But I tell the restaurant that I'm going to bring in more people. They could come back. Huh. Yeah, I want to try it. I want to have a trial period. If their business doesn't increase, why are they doing it? Now, I've had some restaurants that want to do it as a form of customer appreciation. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, and I even say in the notes the story about one of the restaurants, guy had me, and I was there, and after our year anniversary, he was it was actually a Piccadilly cafeteria in Evansville, Indiana. The guy was really super. But they have a software that tracks, so they know that when one of the other stores that was in the mall was having their white sale, mm-hmm. Linens and stuff like that, they knew what their business did and that he had to change his ordering of food for that. Well, so they tracked numbers.
The traffic in the mall.
Yeah, they tracked numbers like you wouldn't believe.
Well, that's what truck cab drivers do in Vegas. They know the conventions are coming in. They got a sheet. And so this way they know how many, you know, where to go and how many people to expect and for this convention.
It's exactly right. And he looked at me and he said, you know, we've had a 300% increase in business since you've been here.
Wow.
And I went, what? He goes, well, I put you on our slowest night, mm-hmm. which was Thursday. And he goes, and we've had a 300% increase. And here I am making the same amount of money. And I'm like, it's not like he offered me more money because of it. That's... You know, and so it puts you in a really weird situation. But I thought, you know, from now, I even address part of that when I make my pitch. And I talk about that in the lecture. But the core of it is, you know, if you're working someplace, take a typical four top table. All right. If the restaurant serves alcohol, that's mm-hmm. good, because that adds a lot to your bill.
Right.
You know, if it's a casual place where they're going to have two drinks, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of places they want you just to have your margarita with dinner and you're going to have one.
Yep.
But if you go to a place that's actually serving cocktails and it's a little, you know, you're expected to take an hour and a half or 2 hours with dinner, mm-hmm. you know, the bill's going to be higher. The table turn's going to be less.
Right.
But you need to formulate your fee off of what a typical four top table is. And so my formula that I've come up over time that I use still now is take what three tables would spend, three, four top tables. So let's say it's a $80 for the night. If they have like a TGI Fridays or something like that.
Okay.
And a four top table is going to spend $80. Multiply it by three, because I'm going to tell them they're going to have at least three more tables. By the time we're rocking and rolling, mm-hmm. you're going to get at least three tables. So that's 240, 80 times 3, and divide it by 2. That takes out the cost of food, cost of running the place.
Right.
I want that much money. So my fee at that restaurant is going to be $120.
So
to start, and I make very specific to say, we're going to start it here. And if you see an increase in business, you need to understand I typically get $500 an hour to do close-up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doing it for that. I'm going to be here for your evening for $120. So as your business grows, my compensation needs to grow. Mm-hmm. And so now all of a sudden we have a partnership where their business is my problem and I'm linked to it. Now it's not to the point where I'm going to make $1,000 an hour. I've never gotten up to $500 an hour at a restaurant, but they get it now. They understand that it's a, and so the approach is business related. You know, that's but that manager
people,
wants to know.
Most companies are not tracking their traffic like that one guy. So
oh,
how
no.
would they know?
No,
they're just assuming
know.
It seems like it's more people.
But a lot of them, if they're ordering food, Scott, they know.
Good point.
You got to know how many tomatoes to order next week.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and if all of a sudden you were ordering, you know, 100 tomatoes and now you need 200 tomatoes, you go, wonder what caused that?
Yeah.
Damn that magician.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need more tomatoes. So yeah, and it's more fun. So I don't all of a sudden cause a 3x increase in somebody's business and go, well, you need to quit paying me $50.
Right.
You know, it'd be nice if that was a whole lot more, but it just works. It works. It works well. And I'm just kind of skirting around it because, you know, I give some stories and give examples how to do it in much more detail and stuff.
Yeah.
But
we don't have time really for a 2-hour lecture, you know, and I just kind of want to touch on that to let people kind of
but tipping,
get some ideas.
You know, I used to be the guy who said, absolutely, you know, the restaurant's paying me. I don't want to lower myself to tips. And somebody one time said, you know, if somebody actually goes and reaches in their wallet as a to get something out, the ones that feel obligated to, I hate. You know, if somebody goes to the effort of handing you a tip, they're actually handing you a form of appreciation.
That's
they're
exactly
saying
right.
thank you.
Right.
And
to slap in the face to give it back to him saying no.
To say no, your tip's not good enough for me is really bad. And it's a struggle. And I try not to smirk when somebody hands me a dollar. And I've actually probably once a month at the restaurant, somebody will hand literally get in their pocketbook and scoop around and hand me change. And, but you got to understand if they're handing you change out of their pocket, I mean, you have moved them to the point that they're willing to give you the last cash they have. You know, we got a weird world that people don't carry their cash, you know. And I'll look at it and I go, are you sure you want me to have this? It's okay. I'm here for your entertainment. And they'll go, no, we want you to have this. Well, thank you. And it's honestly, it's a more sincere thank you than when somebody hands me a 5 or a 10.
Well, I see your point there. I, however, look at it a little bit differently from the standpoint of remember someone having a dollar bill, you know, and these people were dressed nicely and could have afforded a lot more, certainly, and they were having
sure.
a great time.
And that's
and this lady pulled out a $1 bill and kind of held it like, you know, that do you accept tips? And I looked at it and I said, no, I'm paid by the restaurant enough. I'm, you know, please keep it. That's fine. I mean,
and yes, that certainly can happen. I've never just my performing persona that typically doesn't happen. Where
they give you just a dollar, you mean?
Where they smugly hand me money.
It seemed kind of smug in that particular
instance. You know, but that's like I said, I've made up, when I do the bill change, I do it starting with a mismade 5 or a 20 or a 100. Typically a 20 is what I normally go for. Mm-hmm. If somebody gets out a wad and all of a sudden I see a $100 bill, I go, well, let's try with that one. You know, and I've gone to the effort of making it up with a $100 bill at significant expense because you got to get a
but you get a good wow
sheet.
Factor with that too. I mean, I do once a hundred, you know, the 100-500. I've seen guys do it with 20s and they're only out 100. And I say out, I mean, you've always got that money you can
sure,
use.
You could but, always undo
right,
it.
But there's nothing like the wow factor if you have the 100.
No, of $100 bills, except that our hundreds really look like Monopoly money anymore, but that's
well,
beside
that's
the point.
True. That's a whole different conversation. I had with Carl Hein one time. We talked about the new bills and anyhow.
But yes, I've more than paid for making my mismade 100.
Yeah.
By people handing me the $100 bill when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're going to borrow a dollar as though that's a big deal to get a dollar out of somebody, and then they hand you the dollar, you shouldn't be surprised.
You know, on tipping, years ago, I had a little button, you know, that would say, I accept tips. Mm-hmm. I didn't wear it, but I had it on my close-up pad, and I would have it under a stack of napkins. So when I'd come up to a table and I put the pad down, I actually had a little table I walk around with, so I would not actually impose on them and
right.
kind of move them things. I just had something that was the same height as the table. It was a little rabbit table, you know, I'd mm-hmm. come around.
Cute.
For table hopping. Anyhow, that's funny. Thank you. So, and the close-up pad fit the top perfectly. So the point was, after I introduced myself and I did the first thing or two, then I would use the napkins as a trick. And as I removed that, they could then see that button, you know.
So you were just like my buddy Barry, who stuck a big goblet and says, I work for tips.
Well, I wasn't quite that obvious. It could be considered to be obvious. And also, when the money that I got, I would put under the close-up pad. So as I walked around, there may be a few dollars sticking out underneath it. And as someone from another table, which is always great if they bring over a tip from the last table,
yes.
I'd lift that up and put that under, and they could see.
Well, oh, I do that almost by plan.
Do you?
So
you go away from the table quickly enough?
I leave. I don't linger like I'm waiting for money ever. Okay.
You shouldn't. I agree. Yeah, and then you look
and
like
so I walk away, and inevitably, at least once, if not twice a night, mm-hmm. somebody will walk over and hand me money, and then it just starts a chain reaction. You know, if you get one tip yeah. like that, you're going to get two. I mean, because, and I do wear a button. One says tipping's okie dokie. Mm-hmm. Depends on what I'm wearing. So yeah. if I'm wearing some of the crazy clothes I wear, that's a fun yeah. one to wear. Tips accepted. I have one that I used to wear that says, all tips go to feed hungry children, .. mine. Mm-hmm. The reason I wore it, so actually on my lapel of my coat, I have four buttons. One says Tom. One says I love magic or magic dude or whatever. It depends on what I'm wearing. So the colors don't totally clash.
Yeah.
Another one has a joke like hair disadvantaged or humor, don't leave home without it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just some of those cute pins that I have. And one says, basically, it's okay to tip.
Yeah.
So if somebody looks up at me, because I used to run into this really weird situation, because trust me, the waiters know that you're making $120. They
yep.
know.
Right.
And they know you're walking out of there after 2 hours with more money than they make.
Do you personally share anything with them?
Oh, I don't know. Tips, you mean? Or
tips. I'm talking about tips.
Only if something weird happens. You know, if I hear somebody say, I can't believe I didn't have a tip. But usually the relationship, and again, I talk about this in my lecture, the relationship that you build with the waiters should be really strong mm-hmm. because there's not a person around who's going to hand you as the magician a 5 or a 10 and then leave the waiter less. Because I've visited once and that waiter's been back over and over and over again. So typically I have waiters at the restaurants fighting to work on the nights I'm there.
I've had that happen also, in which I've had up to 3 waiters at a time saying, come to my table next.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I don't know which one to do, because again, they are providing a service to their customer.
Correct.
Knowing that they're going to be tipped on top of that. You're right. You're never going to be tipped more
the
than
the waiter's not going to get. If I get $5, they're getting $6. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to get a dollar less yeah. than what yeah. I get.
It's interesting, just as an aside, you were talking about how that sometimes you'll have a night, and I know exactly what you mean, that seems like it's hot. If one table starts tipping, they all do, and you get pretty good tips, you know, 20s or whatever. And I was thinking back, whenever that I am on the shuttle going to and from the parking lot to the airport or vice versa, you know, and the person who's the shuttle driver will help you with your luggage on or off. If the first person who is getting off hands the driver a tip,
money.
Everybody does. If the first person does, nobody does. It's kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of like they start following suits and kind of feel obligated, I guess. They know that guy did, and I guess I should too. But once the first person does, the rest of them do. But if nobody does, then, you know.
Well, but we live in a weird world now where very few people have cash in their pocket. I mean, if you're trying to do
more of that cashless with the phone and everything, sure.
If you're trying to do a bill switch or whatever, I even do a pen through anything with a Sharpie marker that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
So when money's sitting out on the table, I can go, hey, is this real? And then mm-hmm. I poke it through, and then I have a little routine I do with it, and I put it right back down. And then I'll pick up their 20 and mismake it and put it back down after I'm done.
Well, that's
stuff.
What I've heard other people doing as well. In other words, they'll say, do you have any cash? And then the bigger, the better. And but then do a trick with that.
Sure.
And,
But
And I've heard of guys who will bill and limit or something, then they'll hand the bill back and it's all soggy, you know, and say, no, you keep it, you know. And so you don't switch that out. You know, I haven't ever done that, but I think some people are very blatant about it. Almost they're holding them up at gunpoint.
But again, it's the same way. If you just actually transform somebody's bill to a lemon, okay, mm-hmm. it would be a trophy. I do bill to lemon all the time in my adult shows. And I mm-hmm. remember one time in Evansville, guy calls me up and he said, will you do me a favor after the show? And I said, sure. And he goes, sometime just before Christmas, how long will those last? I said, for days. And he goes, can you put $100 bill in a lemon for my wife? I'm going to put it in her stocking.
Yeah.
And so that thought kept. And so if you treat it, you know, just the way you just kind of mocked, what, do you take tips and you hold it up right, like it's something? Right. If you hold the bill up after you got it out of the lemon like it's something that's just gone through a sewer system, like you wouldn't want to touch it, mm-hmm. yeah, it's got no value. But if you just realize the magician transformed that bill into a lemon, mm-hmm. a sealed lemon, a lemon grown on a tree,
right.
Lord, it should be up in a display box, for God's sake, at somebody's mm-hmm. house.
Well, that's why some people, I think, put it in their wallet. And I have had people do that because it makes it smell lemony fresh.
Oh, yes. It is lemony fresh.
But also the experience of retelling a story. And they, as they do, they'll exactly. let somebody smell it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it is how you treat it, I think. You know, and I think that sometimes we get so jaded with our own craft that yeah. we don't realize what we've just done. Like we were talking about the anniversary trick, you know, to meld two cards together with mm-hmm. two signatures.
Right.
Why would you think that would be anything other than out on display at somebody's house?
Right. Right.
That was a moving moment.
Yeah. I remember Dan Garrett telling me that the cardiographic, you know, that we all do, he went to someone's home where they actually had framed it in the doorway. When he comes in, he could see their...
Well, in our magic meeting several months ago, one of the guys, we have a show and tell portion of our ring meeting, uh-huh. and a guy brought in and unfolded this giant piece of paper that his daughter had gotten, his older daughter had gotten, when she was up on stage with David Copperfield, mm-hmm. and it had the picture she had drawn with the animal with four legs, and it had the all the way down to the phone number, the graffiti. Remember, he did graffiti
right.
on the wall?
Right.
And they still haven't. It's not made the recycle bin yet.
Right.
You know, not that they've framed it and put it up on a wall, and there was tape on it. And he goes, oh, it was up at the house for the longest time.
Wow. Yeah. You telling
know.
A story.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Larry Haas has a great book called Gift Magic. Mm-hmm. It's all about handing things to people and that moment and that impact, which is a great segue to the balloon, Scott.
It is. And I was going to talk to you about that because one of the tips that, or rather ways of getting tips, would be to give balloons, you know, to people at the table. And I wanted to get to that in just a moment. One of the things that I found was successful for me getting tips at a table would be not necessarily to get the money out, but I would announce my next trick is my last trick, mm-hmm. meaning and implying that if you're going to be giving me something as a thank you, then now's the time to start going to your pocket. Because if you just excuse yourself on the table, said, hope you had a great evening, thanks a lot, and pick up and walk away, they're fishing in their pocket, and 50% of the time they may not come over to the next table.
Yeah, you know, because of the way I pitch it to the restaurant, the way I leave it as I'm doing that, it's very similar to what you do. As I go, do you have time for one more trick? I got lots in my pocket. So right. when you come back next time, I can show you a whole bunch of different tricks.
But, and it's important also to give them that uniqueness to say, look, I haven't shown this to any other table. I haven't done this all night, but you guys are special.
Right. Let me do this one more trick. But so I tag that in, but I'm also tagging in, come back and see me. Mm-hmm. And then I hand out my card, which has my cell phone number on it. And I'll tell the mom, I go, this is for you. I go, there's some weeks where I'm traveling and stuff. And if you actually are coming back just to see me, I don't want you to be disappointed. Just text me at this number and say, are you there? I don't ask who this is or whatever. I just reply yes or no. Not this week. And that's it. I don't know who you are. I don't stalk you afterwards. And I'm not going to put you on on some sort of calling list that I have. And it's just a service. And I'll get those frequently.
That's a really good idea.
One or two a week where they just go, "Are you there this week?" And I go, "No, I'm in Nashville this week," or whatever.
That is a good way of trying to get callbacks from people to come and see your show. Well, then going over to Balloons, that's what I was going to say.
Well, it stops the restaurant from being mad when all of a sudden another higher paying gig takes me away. Uh-huh. You know, because if they have four people that go, "Well, we came here to see the magician." Mm-hmm. Well, guess who's the bad guy then?
Well, the deal we had with the one of the restaurants where I worked was that they would guarantee there'd be a magician. In other words, that the guy who was the main magician was not going to be there all the time, or we were tag teaming, you know, every other week we'd take turns or whatever. If something happened, that we would get a magician of comparable skill to replace us. But if for whatever reason, and let's say somebody got sick at the last minute and he couldn't get somebody to replace him, or something got flooded or a car wreck or whatever it is, and you didn't show up, that we would say, we will pay you. So in other words, the money that you would normally pay the magician, we will reimburse you to the restaurant for that loss of business of people coming in saying, "I want to see a magician, you weren't there," or whatever, that might be upset. So in other words,
so they just hand out $5 bills to the patrons who said it. I'm not following that story. But here, bragging for a moment, my character is such that two of the restaurants do not want anybody but me.
Yeah, that was what Al the Only was saying. He had some restaurants like that. It was him or nobody.
I have a pocket full of sight gags and things that I say, and I know the folks who come back all the time, and they really do. They mm-hmm. like to come and see me. I was just telling a story the other day to another customer at the restaurant. I had years ago, there was a family that came literally every week. They loved seeing me. I said hi. I got Christmas cards from them, everything. The reason they came, it was the only time during the week their daughter would drink milk without a fight, because I go, I still do it to this day. I go, "I'll come right back when your food's here. Would you like to see some magic?" "Great. Well, you need to eat, because cold refried beans are really no good. So eat your food and look for me. Give me a little wave if you guys are ready, and I'll come back by, or tell your waiter you're ready to see me."
Yeah.
And they'll do it. And so, you know, I guess whatever I said at that time, I told the girl, I go, "If you'll drink your milk, I'll come back by." Well, that stuck. And so
she did. And the
parents
were
like
amazed.
2 years,
wow.
Scott.
Wow.
Yeah, every Wednesday night, the girl at least got her vitamin D that day. Uh-huh. So it was a great compliment,
Sure.
But it's amazing. Like I said, sometimes I think we forget the power we have as a magician. We forget that we're actually doing something besides a play.
So there was this guy who was working in the same restaurant with me, and he was doing some balloon animals then also. Mm-hmm. And it got so that, you know, because he would be guaranteed a tip. You know, that's what you're talking about, gift magic. When you give somebody something, they want to give something back to you.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be much. I mean, that's another book that I recommend by AJ Schmoozing.
The Art of Schmoozing.
The Art of Schmoozing. Fantastic book.
Even better if you get it as a book on tape, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's an Audible book?
It's also Audible. I believe it's Penn Jillette that's reading it.
Ah. Yeah, because I'm sure they're friends. So anyhow, he was assured of getting tips, but the guy who was kind of running this, I mean, we had one magician who actually had the contract with the restaurant. And so he was the one who was working and then got the rest of us to kind of do these other nights and whatnot. Well, this one guy would always do balloons, and it got so that he was spending more time, really each week more and more time, doing more balloons because there were more kids were coming in, and you'd do 5 minutes of magic. By the time that you blew up and twisted balloons, that's another 5 minutes. So there's 10 minutes per table, half of which was just balloon twisting, essentially, which he would, of course, get tipped for. And we were saying, don't ever do that, because they will have some clown who does balloon twisting or balloon sculpting, whatever you want to call it, and you'll correct me on that in a minute, that they will come in and work for less because they're just blowing balloons and not doing sleight of hand. They're not bringing in all these tricks. And so mm-hmm. rather than hiring a magician for $100 an hour or whatever, that they can, you know, balloon guys say, "I'll do it for $25 or just tips, you know."
Yep.
They'll get rid of the magician because they're looking at it from a financial standpoint. We still have entertainers coming in, and it's a balloon entertainer. So we said, do not give away balloons. What's your thought on that?
I see that point. Because I'll tell you what, I could sit here right now, put a deck of cards in front of you and tell you to name a card mm-hmm. and then think of a number between 1 and 52, and you pick that deck up and you count down that number and you find the card you thought
right.
of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great trick. If I twist you a butterfly, you're going to hand me money. I mean, it's
there's the difference.
It's a huge difference. And in fact, I'll sometimes my ego get my way, and I'll have learned something, and I'll go around and do that trick over and over again or whatever, and be an hour into my night, and I'm sitting here with $2 in my pocket, and I'm like, crap. And I'll twist balloons the rest of the night so I can walk out of there with $40 in tips.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, as I say, I'm not real sure why the Pied Piper played the pipe. He just really needed a little balloon, and those kids would have followed. it is amazing to see the attraction that balloons have still. So I don't do them at the restaurant a lot because the restaurants that I do don't have a overabundance of kids.
Yeah.
I surely don't walk up to a table that's got 3, 4, 5 kids and start doing balloons. Cause like you said, if every balloon takes 2 minutes to make,
right.
You know, there goes 10 minutes.
Right.
Sure. You're going to get a tip, but you know, I try to really, and I make the balloons so that they're special, but
not
you
just know, a sword or a puppy.
Yeah. I've been doing balloons for the better part of 30 years now.
And, well, now we were talking about that you had written an article, regularly for the MUM magazine for the SAM.
Oh yeah. So, as I say in my best father's, Guido Sarducci, balloons have been very, very good to me. it's amazing. You know, my buddy Daniel Herron and Guido.
That was, the guy on Saturday Night Live. That was,
wasn't that Guido?
No.
Father Guido, he did that voice, didn't he?
No, that was the guy who, Garrison, he was a black guy who was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, it was from Saturday Night Live.
But he was like a baseball player.
Well, he would say, baseball has been very, very good to me.
That would be Father Guido Sarducci, who would
talk about,
you know, French fries taste the same in McDonald's from coast to coast.
Anyway, balloons have still been good to me, Scott. You're getting, you're letting the forest obscure the tree. All right?
You mean the trees obscure the forest?
No. So. Not in your case.
So you're saying that you wrote this article. So about
Daniel Herron and I
been very, very good to you.
Yeah. So we were doing balloons way back where we would do more than one balloon. Mm-hmm. Always cracks me up still to this day. You can watch a guy do an illusion and he's got a kid up on stage and he's got dancing girls and lights and everything else. And he stops the kid and he goes, hang on, let me get you this. And he pulls out a balloon and he makes this weird gesture to blow it up, and blows up the balloon. And the next thing you know, he twists the dog and hands it to him. And there's nothing you can do besides walk away underwhelmed. I mean, to me, you've just taken what was an amazing feat of magic and everything else and a great moment. And as his token of appreciation, he was going to twist him a dog. And I was like, holy cow. And so Daniel and I started lecturing at several conventions, IBM, SAM. We did Magi Fest, Winter Carnival. We've done quite a few conventions. SEAM is actually where we started.
What do you talk about?
If you're going to hand out a balloon, there's a whole lot of things that are easier to make than a dog that are a lot more impressive. You know, if you blow it up into a couple loops and stick them together, you know, you can make a butterfly that's nearly as big as the kid. So
with just one balloon?
Two balloons. And we talk about that. You know, yes, you got another 7 cents invested. So
by the way, it was Garrett Morris.
Thank you. Thank
Guido Sarducci. Yeah.
Garrett Morris. I'll have to start giving Garrett. I don't usually give his name, but anyhow. But balloons have still been very, very good to me. I'm glad that was bothering you enough that I thought you just had to go to the bathroom.
Just had to come to me. No.
You had to go do reference checks. But anyway. You can do something that's much more impressive. And so even at the restaurant, it's very powerful to look at a child and go, would you like a balloon? What's your favorite animal? Because as long as I've been doing balloons now, there's really nothing that they can say that I can't do, including a duck-billed platypus.
Yeah, otter.
Yeah, I don't care. You know, it's fun to be able to be
so when
at
you
that
teach
level.
These classes, do you teach people how to twist, or do you teach them why they should be twisting?
You know, of course, we talk about why they should be twisting, and we try to get some twisting disciples after we're finished, and have several. You know, there's several guys out there twisting a lot that started after they'd seen our lecture, and they still come up to us at every convention.
I mean, I know they have balloon twisting conventions that are exclusively just.
Yeah, you know, and I started going to those. The first one that I ever attended was in 1999 down there in your part of the world in Austin, mm-hmm. Texas, when T. Myers had his thing going, and we went to a. God, it was a shady dump of a hotel, but man, when we left, there was a half inch of latex. It looked like carpeting. Right. You know, they weren't cleaning as we went, yeah. And so it was just everywhere. But I mean, made some great contacts, lifelong friends. But you know, ballooning is a copycat art. You know, so if I see a photo of something that somebody's twisted, I go, mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Is there anything that you've actually created yourself? I mean, I know there are tricks you created or presentations and...
You know, Magic Magazine actually published in Silly Billy's column our... we have a rabbit in a hat that was in there. Mm-hmm. We have another one that we I took and modified so you can twist it quicker using two balloons to make a penguin, but you twist both the black and the white one at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they start out twist them together with a little quarter-inch bubble, and then just you make his head down to his cheeks and his body at the same time with the black and the white. Mm-hmm. So it's quick and easy, and it's very visual. I mean, there's not a
Cool
kid thing. In the world doesn't realize that it looks like Happy Feet. Yeah,
sure.
So
like Happy Feet, like the penguin.
Like a penguin.
Okay. Yeah.
So, So we've we have some of our own original creations, mm-hmm. but like I said, It's a copycat art. When we first came out with our DVDs and we showed up at another convention one time, and Daniel elbows me and I go, "What?" And he goes, "Because somebody's made my shotgun." I go, "It's on the video, moron. Of course they're making it."
You taught them how to do that. Yeah.
We taught them how.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's certain things we just don't make at tables and stuff. You got to keep it so it's a little small and compact. But, you know, if it's somebody's birthday, I'm putting a hat on their head and I don't care what age they are. You know, the restaurant will come around and do something. But, man, if you make a hat on their head, everybody's taking a picture.
Anything, any references you'd recommend for people who are just getting into ballooning and that they could, or video that they could watch? And as far
you mean, like my own? Is that what you want me to plug?
Well, if you have that, I mean, like where I learned in the 1970s. And right. We had a fella come to our club meeting and
Dewey. Did you have Dewey?
I didn't have Dewey. No, it wasn't him. Although that was a book that I learned from, because that was what I was going to say, is that it was just one of the local guys. Was kind of doing just a mini lecture for the group, and I had never been exposed to balloon twisting before, and it changed my life. And I was, doing that. In fact, I remember working at an outdoor festival, and that's all I did. I sat on this bar stool basically, and I remember blowing up two gross of balloons, you know, over the afternoon. That was before balloon pumps. I didn't have a balloon pump.
Right.
And that I remember going to the doctor the next day for hemorrhoids. oh, man, that was not a good day.
I didn't blow that hard when I had to do it. I did it at a mall one time after a public show we did when I was in college, and I was just started learning how to do balloons, and I blew. And so I went. For 3 days afterwards, my cheeks were, oh, boy, did they hurt. Mm. But, you know, it's you got to learn how to.
Well, after T. Myers had that one pump thing, it was kind of cool.
Oh, that big pumpo, yeah. Those were great. Of course, now we all have electric pumps.
That's right. Or just even a little hand pump that you can get. I mean, they're very inexpensive.
So, God bless the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, you can learn anything off the internet
That's
now.
True.
And so if you want to learn how to do balloons, you can go out there and look that way.
Yeah, I got to descale my Keurig coffee maker, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go look at a YouTube video, figure out how to do that.
That's funny.
So I got a little science, and, it's time to descale. So, I don't have instructions, so I'll just go to the internet and figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
You can do anything. Like you say, you can learn anything, basically.
Yeah, it's all out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is, no matter what you need. But, it's so much easier now with the internet. But, there's only 7 twists to do
twists.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And so much, I just posted a video on my Facebook page just yesterday of somebody doing what we refer to as balloon decor more than balloon twisting. It's more sculpture.
You create a sculpture.
And so, I mean, this guy had made a backdrop for this kid's birthday, and then he put the letters happy and birthday up, and then he had little potted flowers and a little character in front of it and everything. And I'm sitting here going, wow. Mm-hmm. And I hope people don't start giving that away, because that's a lot of work, a lot of effort.
3 or 4 hours to do all that.
Well, but the knowledge to get to where you can
even
do that.
That's a good point.
You know, you should be compensated for as well, because it's just everybody can't go do that. And to make all those bubbles the exact, you know, when you look at a balloon dress, you know.
First one I saw was at Colin at the Abbott's one time.
Really?
The girl was wearing a balloon dress, and I thought, that is really
we were at
cool.
a balloon convention, and somebody had made one for somebody. And I mean, if he'd have just charged $1 per picture, the photo that was taken of this girl, he would be relaxing on his own island somewhere in the South Pacific right now. I mean, it was in the hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of pictures of people took of this girl in this dress. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd never seen anything of it.
Well, some people might be thinking like of a big gown, but the one that I saw, and correct me if the one you were talking about, there were smaller bubbles that looked almost like large pearls, if you were, and it was a mini dress, you know, that you had.
Oh, well, we make them all.
I guess they're all kinds of...
I mean, there's people who've been married in balloon dresses.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I assume so.
Yeah, and it costs about the same as
a real dress.
As the real dress.
Well, they're not going to be
wearing
it again.
Buddy Daniel and his daughter was a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. She wanted to get a dress, so she got the dress, and it was lime green type of color, or an off green, seaweed green or whatever, and silver highlights in it and everything else. And so Daniel mocked it up and made it so that it was also out of balloons. So she started the night in balloons, and of course the press was there and the news was there and everything. And then after she got there, of course she didn't want to walk around in a balloon dress all night long, squeak, squeak, squeak.
Right.
And so she changed into a real dress. Of course, the real dress now looked like the balloon dress, and you know, people just freaked out even more. So, I mean, a lot of balloon artists will get together and we'll try and mock up famous dresses, you know.
So what's your DVD? I assume it's on your website. Or they?
If the website purchasing part. I don't know how long soon you're going to get this up. Yeah. So, yeah, I have a beginner's one, Learn to Twist. And then there's the one that Daniel and I actually did first was Above and Beyond. So if somebody doesn't know how to twist, I really do recommend Learn to Twist because it goes backwards. So like I said, making a dog is difficult because you've got to make all the bubbles and then connect those bubbles.
Right.
Well, we say start with a loop twist, and there's so many more things you can do by making a loop first and connecting loops, and wham, you have a 4 foot tall flower with hardly any effort whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Four balloons, yes, but you got a 6 petal flower that's as tall as the kid.
Yeah.
You know, not to be done at a restaurant, but if you're doing a birthday party or something, I mean, wow. You know, they're not going to forget that. You know, it's going to sit in their room and just shrink over the next year. And it's amazing. You know, balloons can make a huge impact on people. It's just a huge impact. So
what's the website?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, tomvorjahan.com. And
great, spell Vorjahan.
Oh, V as in Victor, O-R-J-O-H-A-N. Or greatmagicgreatfun.com.
Okay, yeah, but Tom, not T-H-O-M, but T-O-M.
T-O-M, yes, for your overseas listeners.
That's right,
So, cool. greatmagicgreatfun.com is easier to
Which
remember.
Is what you bring to the table. That's you bring it. You know, you, as Bill Malone said, kind of coming full circle around there, that you
great.
Get it. You know, how to entertain.
Well, it's about making people have fun. It's about being an ambassador for the restaurant. I will get menus out, silverware, crayons, and take people to the table if the restaurant gets full.
Yeah.
You know, it's we got to get them in and get them out and make them happy.
Be part of, be a team member.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I'll walk up and typical opener, I'll either say something or have my long fork or light my wallet on fire. And if you're in a mood, because I don't know what you came in to talk about that day.
Could be serious or not.
You know, the one restaurant's right across from a funeral home, which is a funny story. And one day I walked in and there was an older lady, probably she may have been 60. She could have been 55 to 65 years old. She had a bunch of children, younger people, teens and a couple younger than that. So maybe 8 to 16 years old. There were probably 6 or 7 with her. Sitting at this long table and everything, and they're all dressed up. And man, I walked right into it. And I said, how's everybody doing? We're okay. I said, well, and I lit my wallet on fire and they reacted and everybody was happy and everything. And I said, so ma'am, how did you get all these kids to dress up and follow you to the restaurant tonight? Yeah. And they said, oh, my husband has just passed away. We were over at the funeral. Mm-hmm. Well, I go, so is it time to laugh yet or not? And she goes, we could certainly use a laugh. And we had a blast.
You put the fun in funeral.
I did. Yeah. So, but you don't know what you're walking into.
You really don't.
You could have a couple that's discussing their divorce or a deal.
Orlando told me that once, and I want to say he was in Spain or somewhere. Orlando Santos, who was past international president and also worked with CNN, and he was saying he was performing on the street one time. He just passed by, and he was doing something at a table in a restaurant. It was a bistro or something. And after he was finished, that the lady said, you know, this was like probably the last meal I'm going to be having with my mother. You know, that she is ill, and we're going to be taking her to the hospital from here. And this was our last meal, and you really made it special by providing us with some laughter and some fun that we won't forget.
Oh, it's amazing.
You just don't know
touch people. You
what
don't
you're
have
touching
a clue.
People.
You don't have a clue. No, it's a wonderful gift that we have we've learned. And, you know, that's, to me, that's the name of the game, is get people to have fun.
Speaking of that, then you're kind of starting to wrap it up. That's what I was going to ask you. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. What is your magic word? What's your philosophy?
Well, I got it in big letters right on my card. It is fun. You know, mm-hmm. to me, the magic word is fun.
Have fun and make fun.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I could be Peter Pan and not have to grow up, it's as close as I can get. I do magic.
Yeah. Sounds super. Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
Your time.
This
it's always
is great.
Been fun. And so for the magic word, that was Tom Vorjahan. This is Scotty out. Thank you, Tom. That was very enlightening and a lot of fun. I certainly enjoyed having a chance to visit with you. It was interesting, by the way, for all of you listeners, as to how this kind of came about. I was on my way from Houston on up to Columbus, Ohio, for the annual Magi Fest put on by Joshua Jay and Andy Gladwin and their company, Vanishing Ink. And on the way up, I was going to stop in Nashville to visit the House of Cards. Well, actually, Tom lives in Knoxville, but he's also got a house there in Nashville and happened to be in town that weekend, and whenever I was talking with him, he said, well, stop on by. So I did. So we had an opportunity to sit down for this really enlightening chat. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much for your hospitality and friendship and your words, my friend. That was very good. Well, I think that's going to be a wrap here for this week. And if you have not yet subscribed to our newsletter, I encourage you to do so, because there you will find updates not only on who is coming on this week, but also who's going to be coming up next week, and also a suggestion from the archives of someone perhaps that you may not have heard before or certainly deserves another listen, because they had a lot of stuff to talk about and it was educational and entertaining, just as this one has been, hopefully for you, as it has been for me. So again, thanks a lot, Tom, and thank each of you for listening and tuning in here to The Magic Word. And by the way, it would be helpful if you would share this with others and tell people about this podcast. You can subscribe to this, and I encourage you to do so. I know we have listeners from all over the world, and you can listen to this podcast by downloading it and listening on all possible podcatchers. Any way that you listen, whether it's going to be through iTunes or through Google Play, or whether that you're listening to iHeartRadio or Stitcher or on and on and on. There are so many different ways. However, that you get your podcast, you can always listen to The Magic Word through your favorite method. Well, until next week, stay well, get booked, and go out and have fun, and share that fun with everyone else. This is Scotty out.